Welcome to Answering the Call with host Elizabeth Ficicelli. In this program, Elizabeth gives us a glimpse into the spiritual journeys of priests, deacons, and religious sisters and brothers from the Columbus Diocese who have heard and answered God's call. And here's your host, Elizabeth Ficicelli.
Hi, and welcome to another edition of Answering the Call here on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820, and streaming live on stgabrielradio.com. I'm your host, Elizabeth Ficicelli, and glad to be here again for another episode of this program where we get to meet some of the priests, deacons, and religious in our diocese and hear how God called them into their current vocation and find out what they're doing in that service to the church today. And in the studio, I have with me Deacon Carl Calcara. And he serves as deacon for St. John Newman Parish in Sunbury, and he is also the business manager for St. Christopher Parish in Columbus. So welcome to St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820, Deacon Carl.
Thanks, Elizabeth.
Now, Deacon, your exposure to the Catholic faith came right from the start. So let's go there and talk about the family that you were raised in, and tell us a little bit about that family and your earliest recollections of church and God.
Well, it all started... My family was a part of St. Paul's Parish in Westerville. My first recollections were going to St. Paul's School and church there. And my family, you know, went to Mass every Sunday there. And we were involved in both the church and the school. My mother sang in the choir there, and my dad would do handiwork around the parish from time to time. And Father McCumin was a pastor there, and first started out in a small church, but we went over to the the parish was growing, and we went over to the multi-purpose room in the school, and that's where we had Mass. And then Father McCumin decided we needed a new church, and so he built a bigger church than we had before. And I can remember going to Mass there, and as a family, and as a family growing closer to God, going there through school, because we had school Masses, and being a part of the bigger church family and community there. And a real sense of family.
And you probably served on the altar as well?
Yes, I was an altar server for a few years. And that was, drew closer to God in that way also, serving on the altar, which I really enjoyed. And having my mother in the choir, you know, it was, Sundays were special. You know, we would go to church, and when I was sports there, we had football games some Sunday afternoons, but then we'd go home as a family and have my grandmother would make dinner, and she had great fried chicken, and it was a day for family and God. It was, you know, really special days.
So with that Catholic family, with that Catholic parish, with that Catholic school, and being a boy, did the idea of priesthood ever occur to you?
I thought a lot about priest and the pastor, Father McCumin, and what he did, for God's people. As far as myself ever thinking about being a priest, I thought more about the relationship with my family and God. And I guess I always thought about being with God and the vocation of a family, mm-hmm. and growing up in that aspect of growing closer to God.
Okay. And then after St. Paul's school, you went to high school at St. Francis de Sales in Columbus. And how did those years play a part in your faith development and perhaps your future vocation?
It was at St. Francis de Sales that I didn't know it at the time that I would meet Father Walter there, mm-hmm. who was a theology teacher there. And, and not knowing that in the future he would be my pastor at St. John Newman and have a very influential role in discerning the diaconate. But I, from the sales, I remember, you know, going to Mass on holy days as a class. You know, there were special times, you know, when we focused on God and going to Mass as a high school community. It was very good, very good.
And what were your academic plans after high school?
Basically went to Columbus. Well, it was Columbus Technical Institute. Got my associate degree, and then went on to Franklin University and got my bachelor's degree. Kind of took the long road in doing that, made it through. Like anyone graduating from high school, you know, you had plans of going to college, and so that was very difficult experience. Because I was working full time, but a very good experience.
And tell us what kind of degrees you got at those schools and where you would end up career wise.
I got an associate degree from Columbus Technical Institute in public administration, and then a bachelor's in public administration from Franklin University. At the time, I started with the Columbus Technical Institute, I started with the state of Ohio on my years in governmental service, public service. Worked there for 7 years and then went on for 24 years with Columbus Recreation and Parks Department. Okay. And I was many years there. I was the fiscal manager for the department. So
let's go back for a minute to the time as your end of your college years around 1985. Your family structure would change. Talk about that.
Well, yes. Mother passed away from cancer in 1985. And soon after that, my sister was married. My father and I eventually moved up to Sunbury, Galena area. My father and I, we had a close relationship then, but it was a very difficult time because we were a close family. It was difficult when we lost my mother.
So. And that's when you'd become involved then in St. John Newman's Parish?
Not a little bit. My sister went there, and I went there sometimes. But mostly we stayed at that time going to St. Paul's in Westerville.
Oh, okay.
At that very same year that I lost my mother, I also lost my good friend Kevin at that time.
So a lot of changes, a lot of restructuring in your life. We're talking with Deacon Carl Calcara. He's a deacon at St. John Newman Parish in Sunbury and the business manager at St. Christopher's Parish in Columbus. And he's our guest today on Answering the Call here on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. Now, Deacon Carl, not long after your relocation to Sunbury, you would meet your future wife, Gloria. Tell us a little bit about that.
Gloria and I met when I was still working for the state of Ohio. We met roughly in 1987. Some years after that, dating off and on, we were married in 1992.
Okay. Now, she was cradle Catholic?
Yes. She was also a cradle Catholic also, yes.
Okay.
And she grew up in Toledo.
Okay. So there was no faith obstacles. You both were on the same page going into
yes.
your marriage with faith, wanted to raise your kids
yes.
in kind of a similar environment that you had both grown up in.
Yes. During that time frame, that was one of the easier parts since we were both Catholic, you know, and didn't have to struggle with two faiths and everything. We meshed and things went well, yes.
Okay. So you and Gloria were married. You had two children, a son and daughter. Tell us now how and when the diaconate vocation came up for discernment in your life.
Well, I first had thoughts of the diaconate when we were at St. Paul's Parish. A good friend of mine, Deacon Mickey Hawkins, was ordained, I believe in 2001. I saw Mickey on the altar, you know, preaching and serving in the role as a deacon. And I thought at that time, you know, something kind of struck me, and I had thoughts of, you know, is that something that I would want to do, you know, to become a deacon? So I kind of, you know, thought about that for some time.
Mm-hmm. But kind of privately, you didn't really talk about that at first.
No, I didn't. I kept those thoughts to myself. But, you know, he would be assisting, you know, on the altar and or preaching or whatever. And every time we went to Mass and he was there, you know, I kept having these thoughts about that. Yes.
And when did the thoughts become spoken words and a discussion with people around you?
Well, you know, it was some time, and you know, during that time frame, we had transferred up to St. John Newman, and I still kept those thoughts to myself. And I got, as a family, we started getting involved in St. John Newman, and I got involved in many ways. And all that time, I kept thinking about that. There's something more that I wanted to do to serve God's people. And actually, one day out of the clear blue, Gloria asked me, she goes, "Have you ever thought about becoming a deacon?"
Funny you should ask.
it just really, I mean, it was out of the blue and it really caught me off guard. And I said to her, I said, "Yes, I've been given it some serious thought lately." And soon after that, I inquired about the process and about or you know, what the prerequisites were for becoming a deacon. And so then, you know, we talked about it, and then I looked into the process. So,
and one of the first steps of that process is to get a letter of recommendation from your pastor.
Right. Well, the first part of the process is inquiry. Mm-hmm. And then you are asked to put in a formal application. And during that time frame, you get with your pastor to get his approval.
Okay.
Move toward, you know, being called by the bishop.
And there was a changing of the guard over at St. John Newman at the time this is all happening. How'd that impact your path?
Yeah, I got the approval from Father Walter and sent in. And then soon after that, he was transferred to another parish. And Father David Sizemore was a new pastor. So now I would have to get his approval to move forward.
You have a funny story about meeting him for the first time.
Yes. I called him and told him that I was interested in a diaconate and I, you know, needed his approval to move forward. So I met him at the Sunbury Diner. And so I was sitting there in the booth and he walked in and you have your picture in your mind, you know, what a priest would be dressed at. And this was the summer, so it was very hot. And so he walked in with flip-flops and printed T-shirt and shorts. And I said, "Father Sizemore?" So, but then we talked, and he told me what his expectations were for a deacon. And then part of that, he's told me that he was looking for a deacon, not a weakin.
So. So he would make it pretty clear. And I thought that was a really interesting kind of interview for you because, you know, most people, they're going through the diaconate process. They have a general idea what a deacon is. But here you were interviewing with the person who you were going to work side by side with.
Right.
And he was going to tell you specifically what he was looking for in a deacon.
Yes. And he told me the expectations. And he had already been through this process where a deacon went through formation at another parish that he was in. So, you know, he had worked with someone that was eventually ordained as a deacon, and he had in his mind what his expectations were, which at the time I thought, you know, there was nothing wrong with that. I could understand where it was coming from. So,
sure. And so this whole formal application process was underway now. And tell us a little bit about that, because that can be kind of a stressful time waiting to hear back, right, from the diocese.
Yes. They select a number of candidates, and then the first year, it's a four-year process, and the first year is the formal application, and then there is psychological testing and an IQ test that's given, and so that's how they come to what the final candidates will be for the diaconate. And so you go through that process, and then after that's over, they select the candidates who will be a part of that class. And for my class, it was 15. But the nerve-wracking part comes with if at the end when you're called to candidacy by the bishop. And there were about 30 at the time and originally, and then it was weeded down to 15. And so I kept waiting for this letter to come in the mail. I pulled up one time to the mailbox and got something from the diocese. And I thought, this is a letter. And I opened it. And of course, it was something else. So, but then it was closer to the time in November. And I got the letter from the chancery. And I opened the letter. And I didn't even pull in the garage all the way. I was. The garage door went up, and I just couldn't wait. I opened the letter, and I was called to candidacy. So it's pretty special.
What was the driving emotion at that moment? Do you remember?
Tears. It was just a very emotional moment.
Oh, I'm sure. So you were in and on your way to the educational portion then of the diaconate. And as you said, 3 years of pretty intense classes and formation weekends. Was your wife, Gloria, able to participate in any of that?
Yes. I mean, wives are, we had what's called formation weekends, and the wives are invited the first night and, you know, a lot of times, and they join in on discussions and things like that. And wives are always welcome to come to the classes, any of the classes, and some wives did. You know, when you have a family and you're there doing studies, then your wife is the carpooler or going to events and things like that. And so, and our kids, Sophia and Carl, I think were in the fifth and sixth grade, I believe. And so there were a lot of things going on Saturdays when we were in classes a lot of times. So
they were pretty young. Did they understand your children? Did they understand the commitment you were making, and how did they feel about it at the time? Were they able to grasp what was going on?
Yeah. We were asked to sit down with our families before we started formation to talk about the commitment that was involved. And with my family, I sat down with Gloria, Sophia, and Carl and talked to them about, you know, this was a big commitment, not only going through formation, but also, you know, beyond that. And it would require a lot of my time in serving God. And I got their blessing to move forward.
And they were going to have to share Dad.
Yes, in a very big way.
In a very big way.
Yes.
And so you were ordained then a deacon in November 2008. What was your strongest memories or emotions of that day of ordination?
Being very humbled to get to that point of being ordained to serve God's people in a very, very special way. You know, to be there with my 14 other brothers that were ordained that day, it's just unbelievable to get to that point. And but it was a very special day when not only I shared it with them and the church community at large, but also with St. John Newman Parish, because that first weekend, usually you preach that first weekend, and I did, and very emotional.
Mm. And as a parishioner first at St. John Newman and then a deacon, did your parish have any trouble acclimating to you as a deacon? You know, was it?
No, because here's a reason why I don't think they did as much is because one of the expectations that Father Dave had for me from the beginning was to I was MC on the altar the whole time before that, so they became accustomed to me being on the altar and being active in the parish, and so. Yes, now they saw me in a different light with being a deacon on the altar, but it wasn't such a drastic, you know, change that now he's on the altar. Where was he, you know? And so.
Right. So they were already familiar with you up there.
Yes.
And seeing that you were.
Yeah. And we had a deacon there, Deacon Elmer Lampe. And so they saw a deacon functioning on the altar and things like that. So that part of it wasn't different. Maybe some of the other responsibilities I had in the parish, maybe that would be different.
Right. So after 5 years now, right? 5 years of being mm-hmm. a deacon?
Yeah, this November, yes.
So is this role becoming more comfortable now to you? I know there's always this breaking in period and it's new, but now after 5 years, does a shoe fit well now, you know?
Yes, it fits well. Yes, I'm very comfortable with being a deacon. And all the responsibilities that come with it, you know, eventually when I retire from my current job, I would like to be more active in my ministry and do so much more to serve God's people, you know. But yeah, it's I'm very comfortable in being a deacon there. Yes.
And your service goes beyond St. John Newman. You're also helping out at Trinity, the school that
St. Christopher / Trinity, the
okay.
school. Yes, I'm a business manager there. You know, yes. And what's nice there is it brings me back to growing up in St. Paul's Parish when I was at the school there because I get to assist at the school masses. So that's very special to me to be able to do that. And it's another great parish community that I get to work with.
And high school as well? You get some high school?
Yes, I assist at, my son just graduated from St. Charles, and I assist there at masses and love doing that. And also at sometimes at Bishop Watterson. So.
Good. So you're really around young people. That's good. Kind
yes.
of hopefully inspire them
yes.
as well to think about the diaconate. Do you think you've been well prepared for your role as deacon, or have there been any surprises or obstacles that you weren't ready for?
No, I think I've been very well prepared, as I would think, any deacon that goes through formation. I think we're, well prepared to what will happen, when we start our ministry in the parish. I think we're just very well prepared.
Okay. And what would you say personally is the most challenging part of being a deacon today?
Challenging? There's always something to balancing your life. You know, as a permanent deacon, most permanent deacons have a full-time job and a family. So, you know, it's always a little bit of a challenge to balance things in that regard, but you find a way of doing it because it's your everything's important, your family, your job, ministry, and you just you know, find a way to balance things out and make it work.
And that always seems to be the number one obstacle we hear from our deacon guests, is that whole juggling all those responsibilities. And many shared that was the obstacle that prevented them for a while pursuing this, because they thought, how am I going to do it? But how ultimately do you do it?
It's communication, and kind of sharing your time and your love with everybody around you. And, you find a way to make it work because, you know, All of them are vocations, and, you know, you look to make it work because it's all, part of God, you know, and making it happen. So,
and as you're looking back now, you look at your growing up years and your school and your career and what you're doing today. Do you see the hand of God working through all of that, leading you through what you're doing today?
Yes, in a very big way. But I guess in regard to all this working, I guess it all starts, in my case, with the family and going all the way through, you know, growing up in high school and college and everything. And my family now, that's a big part of it, is your family and also your church family, your church community. It's all a part of being in a family, and that's what makes it work.
And family does absolutely seem to be a theme in your life, as you say, from your own biological family and then the church families that you've been involved with. So Deacon Carl, there may be men listening to the program today that maybe that they're at a crossroads themselves. They might be considering this vocation. What advice can you give these men to listen to God's call and follow it?
I would say that, you know, there's always a way that, or you can find a way, even if you have a family, you know, God will give you what you need to balance things out if you consider the diaconate and to make it work. You know, he'll be there for you to make it work and to balance things out.
Thank you, Deacon Carl Calcara, for being here. Can you close us with a blessing?
Heavenly Father, please bless everyone out there that may be discerning the priesthood, religious life, the diaconate. Please give them the strength and love to answer your call whenever it may be. We ask this in your name, and may Almighty God bless you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thanks again for joining us on Answering the Call.
Thank you.
We'll see you next week. God bless.
If you know a priest, deacon, or religious sister or brother that might be interested in telling St. Gabriel listeners how God inspired him or her to answer the call, please contact us at info@stgabrielradio.com.